get really fucking drunk. Meet me at the bar, meet me at the bar.
All right. Okay, we're back again here at the old LOT compound here, and we're doing a little bit of a revisit to a prior episode. We're now tasting the latest batch of the Weyerbacher Reserva. We tasted, I guess, what was the first?
The 2010.
2010 batch previously, and now we're going to be tasting 2011 batch, and so you were told that it was a little bit different.
Yeah, I think they changed the amount of fruit. And they said the carbonation was much more successful. Mm-hmm. It was aged in oak barrels.
I think we said like last time it was like what it was over. It was double digits, right?
Yeah.
I want to say it was around like 11.5 or so.
Yeah, this one they don't officially say, but it's also in that range.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Raspberry soda.
Yeah. So,
that's
wow, the raspberry color. Ginger ale color.
Yeah.
A little bit of brown to it. Yeah. A little reddish brown.
Yeah. But yeah, you're totally right about the carbonation. I mean, it's so much more than the other one, than the 2010 was. Ridiculously more. And it's, yeah, like, obviously, bottle condition, so you can't really see through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember back to the 2010, but based upon what I'm smelling, I feel like that when you said they added more raspberries to the mm-hmm. mixture, I think you can definitely tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting because last time I almost got a little more kind of sourness or a funkiness off of it as opposed to fruit, and I mean more fruit than funkiness off this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still a little bit of funkiness there,
yeah.
Like an estuary note. Huh.
I don't know if it's a cheese or this tastes different than what I remembered.
Hmm. It could. I mean, we did eat crackers and water afterwards, but
I like it better than the last one. Last one was more sour.
Yeah, it's definitely more fruit forward. Yeah, it definitely does make you pucker mm-hmm. a lot.
But I think this varies greatly by what you had in your mouth right before it.
Yeah.
Because I had it three times now.
Right.
I had it once at the brewery when they opened it.
Right.
And that, I seem to remember, was sweeter.
Hmm.
And I had it once, but I actually had more than once.
Right.
I had to taste different bottles to make sure it was consistent.
Yeah, bottle variation, of course.
But
thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah. And then I tasted it once at work with a colleague, and I also found it fruitier and richer there, but we hadn't eaten anything.
Huh.
Now I'm finding it more sour. I don't know. It wouldn't have continued to get more sour in the refrigerator.
I don't think so. I wouldn't think so, no. I mean...
Can it be a bottle variation?
It can be a bottle variation. I mean, it's not... You don't taste any off flavors specifically. So, like, you know, the way the yeast kind of, you know, develops itself in the bottle, you know, and plus, like, when you do have, like, you know, bottle conditioned items, you can have these peaks and valleys. But usually within 2 months, I don't know if there'd be that much of a variation, but yeah. Apparently there might be. Apparently, if it was active enough, you know, yeah. And it might, you know, if you were to take the, you know, if we could magically seal this bottle and open it up again 2 more months, I mean,
I'm leaning towards the strong cheese.
It could be. It's still very tasty. I think that, you know.
Once a year.
Yeah, once a year. Once a year, it's okay to splurge a little bit.
What do you think?
It's too strong for me.
Too puckery.
Too strong for me.
Mm.
It's not my
cup of tea. That's funny. I do enjoy the fruit off this. Like a lot more than the first one, but both, you know, well, that's why it's so interesting to see these types of, you know, Belgian style, you know, like lambic-esque, you know, kind of attempts in the United States, because obviously things come out a lot differently than, you know, elsewhere. So
watch the center of the glass.
Yeah, look at that. It's
the bubbles are coming up only in the center of the glass as it sits.
That's interesting.
Could that be because of the shape of the glass?
It could be. I mean, because Because actually, a lot of Belgian glasses, they have, like, for example, with Chimay, the Chimay glasses, basically, they when you pour it, the bubbles emanate from the Chimay logo, apparently.
What?
There's
they have some kind of chemical that triggers it?
Yeah, apparently there's some sort of, like, you know, something that, you know, a lot of Belgian glasses, they're so, you know, anal, forgive the terminology, about their glassware, that, like, you know, it creates a different type of reaction in different glasses when you serve it.
Is that still running?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard there's like 100 different styles of glasses for Belgian beers.
Yeah, so it's like, so, you know, when, you know, I mean, the quack gets served in its own special thing, you know, that has like the wooden handle on it, and the triple Carmelier has its own thing too, and so it's, I don't know, it's interesting. But we're going to enjoy the rest of this, and we'll be back for another a little bit later.
So if you're interested on the web, it's at www.lifeontap.com. You can email us at lifeontap@lifeontap.com. Check me out there on the Twitterverse and the Skypeverse. I am NewType2001. Friend me up on Facebook at facebook.com/DanOnTap. And don't forget to like us up on Facebook at facebook.com/LifeOnTap. And you can also friend me up on Untap. There I'm Dan on Tap. We can enjoy some brews virtually together. So until next time, remember, life's a tap. Drink up till it's dry.
Drinking beer. Oh, yeah, she's the one. That's right now. Bubblegum and beer. Bubblegum and beer. Bubblegum and beer.